TMZ TV.
I want to take a little break today from the final years of Millennium 6 and the heaviness associated with that, and I'll replace it with another very heavy topic. I'm telling you, there's not too many topics we could get into that aren't heavy. It would be kind of nice to change channels and talk about, and I will do this. Talk to you again about justification, that is being declared righteous by God. Conciliation, which is having peace with God. Being selected out from humanity to be a new creation, to be used by the sovereign of the universe to head up everything in Christ. These are all happy topics. But even these cast a shadow of sadness because of how much we don't see it. I think it's appropriate that I'm broadcasting from the dark right now, and that I broadcast from the dark yesterday. It kind of suits my mood, my disposition. I think it's important for you to know this so that you don't feel like some strange thing is happening to you. Wasn't it Peter who said that? He said, "Do not think it's strange, brethren, that all these trials are befalling you." And Paul said it too in one place. He said, "You should not be alarmed at these trials that you hear are coming upon us," Paul says, "for we are located for this." That's the word in the Concordant version. We are located for this. Where we are on the Aeonian calendar at the end of Millennium 6, the thing I said I wasn't going to talk about. Yeah, where we are on that calendar, it's loaded. It's loaded with evil. It's loaded with deceit, with falsehood. Lies are the order of the day, and we are stuck here for the time being. But my teaching is ever true that we are 2.5 minutes away, potentially, from the snatching away. That is Christ coming to claim his body, take it to where he is. I used to say 5 minutes from now, but then I said I was going to become an imitator of God. God said if he didn't shorten the days that no one would be saved. So I decided to shorten the time also. So I upgraded from 5 minutes to 2.5 minutes from now. Cut the time in half, or else who could be saved? But my message to you tonight is that we are finishing what Paul began. We tend to think of the first century as that's when all the heroes lived. This is funny. Even Paul, in the book of Hebrews, he writes of the heroes of faith. And he goes back in time and speaks of Enoch and Noah and Moses, these great heroes of faith, and he sets them up as those to emulate. And we always have the habit of looking back and seeing the previous time as better than ours, that those people were more noble, their lives were more exciting, they were champions of faith. And even Paul did this in the book of Hebrews. He looks back to the heroes of faith. He doesn't set himself up as a hero of faith. And I have a feeling that Moses looked back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ah, the good old days. What was that Woody Allen movie, Midnight in Paris? A really good movie. You ought to watch it. It's about a writer who wants to go to Paris because he wants to capture the energy of days gone by, of the early 1900s, when Hemingway was there and James Joyce was there and Gertrude Stein, the Impressionists, F. Scott Fitzgerald. It was a time of great creativity in Paris, and he thought that was the greatest time. He's trying to recreate it in a sense, and something magic happens when he's there. He gets picked up when he goes to a certain place at a certain time. He gets picked up by Ernest Hemingway, and he goes back to that time in the 1920s when Paris was this enclave of artists, writers, painters, sculptors. And what he finds out is when he goes back to that time, those people long for another era. They long for another time in French history. I forget which time it was that they looked at. So they thought they were the pedestrians. They thought they were the ordinary, nothing's happening here people. Whereas the guy from the future said, don't you people realize you're living in the golden era? But the people that are in the era don't see it that way. They're always looking back. No, this isn't the golden era. That was the golden era. And I think Woody Allen even went back one more phase. He went back to the previous time prior to the 1920s, and those people were dissatisfied with their era. And everybody's longing for what they think was the golden time. How many of us are tempted to think, oh, if we could only have lived in Paul's day, our faith would be so strong. There would be Paul himself in our midst, and we'd be surrounded by the apostles. My goodness, we could even visit Peter. And these people were just paragons of virtue and faith and steadfastness and dedication. I would love for Woody Allen to make a movie about this. Because I think were we to go back to that time, we would be initially awestruck, starstruck, but we would soon realize that what we think in the scriptures are all these high points. These were just that. We're reading in scripture high points. And in between these pinnacles, these peaks of spiritual revelation and spiritual greatness and encouragement, there were valleys, just like we are going through now. But the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, isn't it? Yeah. But back to this idea of bookends. Think of this. I've brought this to you before, but I'm thinking of it again today in light of the sadness of the times, the darkness of the times, which is why I'm filming in the dark. Think of it this way. Those people lived ordinary lives, and they were just as discouraged, just as sad at times, just as sick, just as tired. Paul wasn't at your house every day, right? I'm sure the Ecclesians got excited when Paul or Timothy was coming for a visit. Everybody's spruced up and here they come. And just like today when we have a conference or a Bible study, it's an exciting time. It's a high point. Preceded by and followed by troughs of discouragement, death, and darkness. In fact, let me lay this before you. If those people of the first century were aware of the 7,000-year plan of God they would know that the kingdom was thousands of years away. At least 2,000 years away. I think it was true in any era that the snatching away could happen any time. But at that time, you see, the man of lawlessness has to be unveiled first. So I struggle with that myself, because the man of lawlessness, when it says he must be unveiled, does this mean that he must be on the world stage or formally unveiled to the world? If those folks and us have an overview of time, we are in the more enviable era, because no matter how far away the return of Christ is to us, whether it's 5 minutes or 2.5 minutes or 5 years or 2.5 years, it's a hell of a lot closer than it was for them. But they didn't know that at the time. Do you remember at the end of the Romans series, I did a little novella thing about some people from the first century from the Roman Ecclesia coming to our time for a visit, a time travel visit. And it was so interesting. I didn't even realize this was going to happen until I started writing it. I realized then that they were visiting the future. They were visiting an ecclesia in Alma, Michigan in the year 2012 or whenever. And then they had to go back to their time. But they had to go back to their time knowing that there was still 2,000 years to transpire for the body of Christ. So they would have had to gone back to their time knowing that snatching away is not going to happen in our lifetime. And that thought would be so devastating that in my story, these people understood when they were going back that they would have to be erased, that their experience would have to be erased from their minds. In that story, that was a kind of a fun thing to write. It was also a tug on my emotions, because in the story, you have to read this. It's the last part of my Romans series. You'll find it at ZWTF Archives on my homepage, martincenter.com. Go to the last parts of that series. Very interesting. The way it unfolded is that I fell in love with one of the members of the Roman Ecclesia by the name of Sophie. And she wanted to stay with me. And she was going to tell the others that, no, I don't want to go back to my time. I love Martin Zender. Can't blame her for that. She wanted to stay with me. I wanted her to stay with me bad. And she was just going to have to break it to the others that, no, you guys can go back. There was a certain place they had to meet, just like in Woody Allen's movie, Midnight in Paris. They were going back. She was going to stay. But because she said she couldn't handle going back, knowing that there was still 2,000 years ahead, that they would die not being snatched away. Plus, even worse than that, she would miss me, and I would miss her. Read that again. I'm not going to tell you how that ends. I cried and cried when I wrote that. As I was writing it, I was weeping. It was so real to me what I wrote. I have such a kinship with those people, and this woman in particular. It was just, I was so emotional, I actually started to believe it. I remember I was finishing it, and I went into the kitchen, and Juliana was in the kitchen. I have tears streaming down my face, and I said, how could she go back? How could she go back? She goes, what's wrong? Sophie, how could she go back? And Juliana thought, who's Sophie? This first century believer in Rome. It's in my novella. It's so real to me. Unbelievable. But I know I've been kind of all over the place here, but look, we are, as I've told you many times, we are united with these people. They're dead, we're alive, but we are bookending them. They started what they started, we are finishing. And my point is that we are probably better off than them. We are not only, in a way we're better off, in a way we're worse. We are smack up against the end of this thing. So we are finishing it. I honestly believe that. This has been a long ass relay race, and Paul was the one who started it, and we are running the last lap. We have the baton now, and we are very close to this thing. So in that sense, it is a very good place to be on the Aeonian calendar. In another sense, it's horrifying, because Paul prophesied the great apostasy. Read 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days, perilous periods will be present. We're in them. So this is the darkest time. We look back and then and say, oh, these heroes of faith rose against the dark. We are heroes of faith. You see what I mean? This is how I started, where we don't appreciate our own era. We're always looking back. Oh, how wonderful, how ideal. These people are so great. We're great. We are great that you and I still have faith in the midst of this darkness. It's great. And I'll keep telling you this. These people, when they see us, they're going to be like bowing down to us. I mean, we'll be like bumping into each other, trying to bow down to each other. Like, oh, look, it's Paul. Paul go, oh, look, it's the believers of the year 2020. And he's like, how did you guys survive? How did you guys survive? The apostasy that I prophesied of was in full swing, and yet you maintained your faith. You never saw Jesus. No, Paul, never saw Jesus. Never raised anybody from the dead. No, Paul, I never raised anybody from the dead personally. No, I don't know of anybody that did. Nope. Never made any lame people walk. In fact, a lot of people who walk have become lame. Hey, that's what happens in our era. The lame aren't walking. No, the walking become lame. Yes, we are delivered all day unto the sword. We are lambs, sheep, considered for slaughter. Yes, it's a terrible thing. So it's not romantic. It's not rosy. I'm not telling you to think back to that day as romantic and rosy, because sure as hell it was not. But we are no less heroes of faith than those people. That might be my point. Don't romanticize those days as if they were great and we're just stragglers. We're the last, but it doesn't mean we're the least.